Welcome to Go Home Heat, a special edition due to Slammiversary. I have the Go Home Heat Kid Ray. I have New Japan Jared.
Yes.
I have KP here to discuss the events of tonight's episode. I will start out by spoiler alert, awesome.
Spoiler alert, no sting.
But in spite of that.
Awesome.
We start out. The first, we were promised many surprises this evening.
Yes.
There were a lot of free agents in the world, and tonight did not disappoint. Wentz and Dez versus the Motor City Machine Guns in an open challenge tonight, and they had a banger to start this thing off with. You enjoyed it.
Thought it was quite good.
Yeah.
I like the Rascals. You can kind of throw them in there with anyone. Love, good match.
Right.
And Motor City Machine Guns, perhaps a tad bit rusty, but
They got going.
They got going.
Mm-hmm.
They absolutely got going. It came back.
And they are still very good at all those chain tag team wrestling moves that are cool and look good. And I'm just excited to see them back on the scene. I love Shelly. Saban's more likable than Shelly.
But Shelly wrestle, he does everything with the most effort.
Right.
He walks back to the corner and he makes sure to step on the guy as he does it and do it.
Yeah.
You notice it just that.
Yeah.
Every single thing he does, he puts some flair onto. It's quite good.
Every move is something. He later in the show, they wind up announcing that they're going to get a tag team championship match. We won't say with who yet because we haven't got there yet. But Saban is talking it while Shelly is selling somehow the surprise in his eyes with his big wide eyes and jerking his head back and forth between his partner and the guy. He's just money. Okay, we have a gauntlet. No? Did we have the gauntlet man next? No, we had a scene where Taya, it just happened. We had a scene where Taya, Valkyrie, and Johnny Bravo, she's dressed like Captain Hook, and Bravo is dressed like the first mate. Some type of first mate, and the dog may be a parrot of some kind. I don't know what the dog had on.
It was a crocodile, because you remember in Peter Pan.
Correct, because she's Captain Hook and lost her hand.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Okay. Then she says, I got to win, and then Rosemary shows up and says, Bravo, I have to win.
Yes.
And so Bravo was in an
interesting path to get to that.
Quite the dilemma. Right. Then we get the real world championship, Tommy Dreamer versus Moose, in what we would call, we have always said on this show, a Tommy Dreamer match as an old school ECW guy. It turns out that they have decided that Tommy Dreamer does actually have his own match, and it's called an old school match. And basically, whenever he wrestles, it's under old school rules.
Yes.
Which means you get to hit him with whatever's around.
Just parking
trash
signs.
Trash cans, parking sign, whatever.
Signed jerseys.
And they beat the stew out of each other. And Moose does a really good job of selling Tommy as a wrestler, which we don't... It's hard for people to do at this stage of Tommy's career. Moose does a standing moonsault. Moose does a spot where he goes from second rope to one side of the corner first rope to second rope to back handspring and into a cutter that Tommy Dreamer puts on him onto a trash can. He kicks out of that, and then we get him, what was it? There was a third one he did. I think he did a regular moonsault at some point,
yeah.
Too, right? So, yeah, he was great.
Yeah, that was the one he did knees first onto the chair.
Yeah, he does. They do the tax spot, and they give you the close-up of him trying to push Tommy's face into the tax. That turns into him. Tommy gets out of that, but then gets slammed onto the tax chest first, which turns into the tackle, which turns into the 1-2-3, and still TNA champion Moose. You enjoyed it?
Yes.
Yeah.
About as good as it was going to get.
It was 100%. As good, correct. If you're going to have Tommy Dreamer in that match, that's as good as it gets. And I thought that, just a sidebar, I thought that Josh and Don Callis returned tonight. I thought they were great. I thought Don is very good in any scenario that allows for sarcasm. you know, when what was it? He had them, Moose had them announce him as the god of wrestling, and yes. To which he replied, it's
he's not Carl Gotch, which right. is the only god of wrestling.
Which, if you were watching the episode, sent you to Google. Yes. Who's Carl Gotch?
Please look him up. That right. dude's
yeah. Right, right.
If there is a wrestling god, you could make an argument that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Also, he mentioned a couple times that they were trending number one worldwide, which tells you there is a ton of buzz for this. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit after this is over, because I think that's a neat route. They're looking for Anderson and Gallows, because we've kind of let it leak out that Anderson and Gallows will be there to obviously help with the pay-per-view buys, and they're big free agents on the market. So she's in the parking lot awaiting a Jaguar as it arrives. And it turns out it's the Swingman, Johnny Swinger.
The Swingman, full gear.
Yes.
Always full gear.
Always full gear, fanny pack in tow. She wants to know how he got hold of a Jaguar. He said, I was at the airport in the rental car place. Said this was for Anderson. I looked around. There was no Ole there. Because Arn would be too young.
Yeah, Arn would
for
be too
spot.
Young to reference. Ole yeah. Anderson, however.
So perfect. I took it.
So I took it.
And he flips her the keys. Park it for me. Don't scratch it up. Dude, so good.
I love the swing, man.
Oh, yeah. And here we get to the gauntlet match, which starts with Tasha Steelz and Kylie Rae. We add in Ty Valkyrie, who is actually Johnny Bravo in disguise, because he's going to help her.
And she drew really early, so she decided that...
That's not going to work for her.
That's not going to work for me, brother.
Yeah. And they toss Johnny as soon as he gets in there.
Yeah.
Then we get a little bit of a match. Kimberly's next. Katie Forbes, who I didn't know was in the match, winds up being next. Basically, everybody under contract winds yeah. up in the match. Madison Rain, Havoc. Taya comes out as Captain Hook, as we alluded to. Alicia...
Nevaeh.
And Rosemary all wind up out
wait,
there.
Wait. Not just Rosemary, but also Rosemary.
Correct.
Because Johnny Bravo then
Johnny
comes
Bravo
out.
Does get into a new outfit.
A different outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Dressed as Rosemary, including, you know, $5 Halloween City, you know, Spectre of Death robe comes out in that.
It was
face paint and a wig.
Wonderful.
It was great.
It was wonderful. And he, of course, gets eliminated again after eliminating... Who'd he eliminate?
Havoc. Havoc goes for the double clothesline on Taya and Rosemary. He
yes.
flips her over.
Now, the match, I thought it was what these things are, a bit of a... They're supposed to be somewhat of a cluster.
Oh, absolutely.
And it comes down to, surprisingly, Taya and Kylie... Ray.
Kylie Ray, yeah.
And we get a little quick match between them, and the finish I thought was excellent. Taya showcased how she can be she held the girl on her shoulders. She flips into the hold the girl. Like tell me what you said earlier about her.
I said something that she's such a great worker that she basically does her opponent's moves in addition to doing her moves.
For them.
Like, dude, if you watch her during a match, it's not like super, super noticeable, but just like she really does take it upon herself to just perfectly make sure they're in the right spot, and same time she's making herself be in the right spot. It's really, really impressive.
Yeah, she's so good.
When I say she's a fantastic worker, I mean that beyond just like, oh, her matches are good. It's like because she's like the backbone of the entire match. You can throw her in there with anyone and it'll work.
Right.
Because
absolutely.
She's just that good of a worker.
Right. And she'll do the flip for you. She'll do everything. And she winds up getting pinned.
She's strong enough to hold you. You know, she's great.
Right. Right. You can, she's sturdy like a jungle gym for them.
Yes.
They can spin around, which Kylie does at the end to get her move in. And Kylie goes over. And I thought, wow, Kylie going over is weird because our champion's a babyface.
Yes.
And so that was weird to me, because I didn't think that Taya had been through these wars with Jordynne Grace before, so I didn't understand how she was the last man standing. All of it comes into light later, but it was interesting. Now, next, we get the first big surprise of the evening, and he has kids.
He has kids. That's his main feature.
Slater comes out with a microphone not quite on,
no.
Which was strange.
Yeah, they had some issues. They fixed them later.
Yeah, he wound up having to yell. But then, so he's ready for a world title shot, and Rahi comes out, and he's not having it, and he roughs him up a little bit and leaves, and that's our first thing. And I'm thinking that he's in the title match. I would find out later that's not true.
It's not true. He is, in fact, not signed to the company.
Yeah, we can just talk about that real quick.
That was a fun little segment.
He's backstage high-fiving Rhino, and Gamora comes up, and go ahead.
And he comes up, and he's like, hey, man, it's so good to see you. You know, old times, reunions. You're not signed to the company, and this is, you know, there's a pandemic going on. This is a closed set. I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
It was so good and so impact.
It was so impact where it's just, it feels contiguous.
Right.
It's just a fun little segment.
And then Rhino's like, don't worry about it. I got this. Just go home and show up at the arena on Tuesday and we can work. And I'm assuming we're going to get some form of Rhino and Heath in a tag team eventually. Rhino's not at a point in his career where that won't work.
Yeah.
Heath can still work. And we've added the machine guns. If we add them, and we've already said that the Good Brothers are supposed to be coming along, tag team division looks pretty strong with the North already there.
Dude, yeah.
And, of course, the Senile.
We'll get there.
Okay. Willie Mack versus Chris Bay.
This match was awesome.
Match of the night.
I'd say just like bell to bell. I like the main event quite a bit. But there was just like a lot going on.
Match of the week?
Woof. I would argue, but yeah, I'd probably say so. I don't really know what else would be. I might argue the tag match from Dominion, but other than that, no, it's pretty much match of the week.
It was amazing.
It was really good. Those two, again, they're just like, they're crazy athletic. And Willie Mack is just a miracle of physics. Scientists need to study him.
Yes.
Because it's like, you see big men do like flips and stuff, and you're like, whoa, but like Willie Mack's like on another level with some of the stuff he does. Man, I literally don't get it.
He's got Kung Fu Panda's skill set.
Straight up. You know what? You're so right.
You know what I mean?
You're so right.
It's crazy. It's like, wait, I don't understand. How does that work? How does he's heavy set? The standing flip that Moose did earlier. I mean, he did it.
That's impressive. Incredible.
It's impressive, but he doesn't do it like Willie Mack does.
Bro, Willie Mack, it's like his hip up is crazy because like no one's as good as his. He just like rolls up.
Dog. Oh, man. And so how? He winds up and Chris Bay, the first moment you saw him wrestle in this company, you thought, this is a big signing for him, for them. He's a fantastic worker. And he hasn't had that breakthrough match. He's had good ones. He hasn't had that kind of match. And he got in there with Willie, and they gave him time, and they tore it up.
They tore it up, dog.
And the finish, you pointed this out. The finish, we get what looks to be some form of a springboard crucifix by Bay.
Yeah, it's interesting because it doesn't quite work out because he goes for the springboard crucifix and Willie just like doesn't like land perfectly, like they're just in an awkward spot. He doesn't even bother with the pin.
Right.
I could see him almost thinking for a second, and I'm certain this was like both in and out of kayfabe. He's like, oh man, do I pin him here? He goes, no, I'm just going to go ahead and go straight for the...
And that's in a tenth of a second.
A tenth of a second he decides, and I don't know, stuff like that where it's weird how like little mistakes can add to a match quite a bit.
And Willie Mack, to his credit, feels him roll off of him and realizes there's something else. And Bay hits the springboard cutter. Well, Mack had to realize he slipped off of me because it was supposed to be some form of springboard crucifix in theory, right? So he has to realize, okay, he sprung off of me. I need to be somewhere where he can hit me. And he had to do that naturally as well.
Yeah.
And bang. I mean, if it was scripted to be like that, that's pretty amazing. But it didn't look scripted to be like that, and that's really high level.
Yeah, just that instant.
Yeah, two guys knowing, well, we got to finish this, and it needs to look cool. What's he going to do? You have to kind of know what his skill set is and go, well, he could hit me. Because from where he's laying down, he can't hit his famouser because he's too far away.
Yeah.
So it's got to be a cutter, right? Dude, that's...
He goes for like a top rope or second rope cutter or something, which is perfectly fine. It's a finish, 100%.
Absolutely. And do you know what else is cool?
What?
how much I absolutely love the fact that it wasn't his finisher.
Yes. You know, honestly,
the match ended on a move that wasn't
a finisher.
Right.
It's nice for that to happen.
Yeah, because anything can happen in pro wrestling. It's cool. Sometimes people don't. Moving on to the North versus the Scorpion and the Frog. Sammy Callahan and a very crazy Ken Shamrock. This was, to crazy. Me, not great.
No.
Shamrock looked disoriented for parts of it, confused.
Just not sure where to be.
Right, but the weird thing was, when he was in the ring wrestling,
I was perfectly fine.
He was good.
Yeah.
He was good. He was huffing and puffing here and there, but he was good. And, but it just looked like he didn't know what to do with himself.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, there was a moment there, I'm fairly certain that the reasoning was Sammy was supposed to get the pin, he thought, or go for the pin, and he didn't. And so he was, like, frustrated. I'm sure that they were like, sell that you're mad at Sammy here and there because you're going to go back into a program with him as opponents. Mm-hmm. But instead, he just stood in the middle of the ring and looked at everything like, where am I? What is going on?
Right. I don't know. It was weird.
And when they went to the top of the ropes, when he and Alexander went to the top rope and they were going to do the suplex off of the top rope, I thought, oh, my God, I wonder if...
He's like, okay, did he hit his head?
Will Alexander be okay? Because I was afraid he was going to hurt him. And it was perfect.
It was perfect. What's yeah. so weird is he just looked like out of place. Like he had just completely right. forgotten. Except when he was wrestling. And then it was fine.
It was so crazy. And then almost like... I don't want to... Okay, I'm not going to say that. Because I don't want to. But like when they were doing the counters in the ankle locks. Back and forth. In the catch-as-catch-can stuff with him and either opponent. He was perfect.
Oh, yeah.
But just for whatever reason, he looked oh, my God. And the spot of the night for absolutely zero reason. Actually, the reason why we're doing this is because he dove at Moose at a pay-per-view a while back and looked like a helicopter that ran out of gas, went straight down, and Moose caught him like a baby.
Moose delivered him to the ground safely, but dude, he was head first, you know?
So this time he's up in the ante, and he runs at the ropes like he's going to jump over the top again, but he knows he can't fly because he's proven that. He is very much a sham rock. And the two guys that are supposed to catch him, the North, move out of the way, and so he just rolls over the top rope.
Man, he like hits multiple ropes, slams on the apron, and then falls to the ground. It looked awful.
It did, but it also looked like realish.
Yeah. Like, okay, dude, some people go over the top rope and then they barely pull it down like an inch and they just fly over the top rope.
Right.
This looked like he tried to like stop himself, but he was already going over. So, again, mistakes can make it look more real.
And maybe that's what they were trying to do because the North got out of the way long before he jumped.
Yeah.
So it could have been that was what the spot was, but it looked so bad.
It looked like it hurt.
Doom, 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 bloop. That was great. It was great. Okay, so the North winds up going over in what I thought was okay, like we just said, pretty good. And then the key is Motor City Machine Guns come out to let the North know that they get to fight Tuesday night. And that's, again, we're trending worldwide, supposedly. And they're getting to do a commercial for Access TV where he says, well, we've got the Motor City Machine Guns, which is a world-renowned group. People are starting to go back and watch old New Japan footage, old TNA footage, and learning, you know, the Young Bucks came from somewhere.
Yes.
Part of where they came from was their rivalry with the Motor City Machine Guns. So this is a good move on their part to get more eyes on the product, I feel like, anyway. Then Rich Swann says as soon as he's healthy, he'll be ready for a world title match because they thought that that was where the Good Brothers were staying, but it was not. No. And he's on crutches at the time. So we cut to Deonna Purrazzo.
He's been out with an injury for quite a
while.
8 months. 8 months.
Rebuilt knee.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. That was rough.
Deonna Purrazzo versus Jordani Grace. And when she's walking to the ring, they said that she had done her time, which she's an ex NXT product, ex-developmental product. She left TNA and thought she had found her dreams. They didn't get too specific, but just specific enough.
I knew exactly what they were talking
and
about.
And when Callis said, did her time in at the Stanford Supermart.
Supermax.
Supermax. It had, dude, it was so smooth.
That was funny.
Oh.
I can't even be mad about it, you know?
No, it's funny. No, it was good. And they're so... Like I consider there to be a big three in American pro wrestling, but I feel like I am not only in the minority, I'm very much in the minority on that. And so when they take shots, if they want to take shots at either one of the other two companies,
that's perfectly fine.
I don't care, because they need to do anything they can to be on the map. If they want to take a shot at Ring of Honor, I don't care. You know? Okay. And so the match I felt like was very good.
Yeah,
what did you think about it?
Incredibly impressed with Deonna Purrazzo. I don't think her speaking ability is great, and her matches have been, you know, straightforward squash-ish matches.
Not incredibly impressed until tonight. Okay.
For the most part, I felt she did a really good job. I don't want to undersell Jordynne Grace because I love her. She's great. She's like one of my favorite Impact people. I think she's awesome.
And she was great.
She was
tonight.
Great. Great look.
They just both looked out, great.
They both looked great.
Yeah, and they counter one another very well.
Yes.
They're Purrazzo's big enough to do things that look violent with Jordynne, and they look legitimate, obviously. And she's also able to catch as catch can with Jordynne and put her in awkward positions.
Yeah.
Now, the result winds up being... The newly signed number one contender goes over, and I was shocked.
I did not think that they would put the title on her. I figured it would still be Grace walking out. Though I'm not like upset about the result. You know what I mean?
Again, no, I think we're getting
a
program
now. I thought the
match
was quite good.
Yeah,
I thought the ending was great. The double armbar
was
vicious.
Great.
Woof.
She got her, and then she got her even more.
Dude, because I was like, oh man, that's not even the arm she's been working. And then she reached for the other arm and wrenched it back. And I was like, oh, bro.
Yeah.
That's awful.
That's clever that you thought of that. That's not the arm she's been working the whole match. And then when she goes for a double arm,
like, oh,
you realize, oh,
God,
wow, she's got her
horrid.
Now. Right. And she you have this machine of a wrestler in Grace having to verbally quit.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's got to be demoralizing, right? And so she's got a story to tell now. I wouldn't mind if they pass this belt back and forth a couple times.
Please.
Because I think we can get more of this, and it'd be very, very good. Okay, so...
That sets up Purrazzo versus Kylie Rae, which could be quite interesting.
Also, Kylie Rae can wrestle.
Kylie Rae can wrestle.
Very, very well.
She only gets better.
Now we have a main event of our evening.
Night flew by.
It did. Trey, Eddie Edwards, Ace Austin... Madman Fulton.
Who is in the corner of Ace Austin, not technically a participant.
Accompanying
right.
Ace Austin. The surprise of the evening.
Yes.
It's all coming down to this.
Yes.
Rich Swann.
I'm hyped for it. It was not what I was expecting, but I was hyped for
Heartfelt.
It.
Heartfelt. It was perfect if that was all that happened, even though they had built it up around so much else.
I would have been fine.
But you could hear people watching on TV go, oh.
I hear the clicking. I hear the click clacking. They're like, who is this NXT reject?
Right.
Where's my other NXT oh.
Okay. And then EY's music hits.
Eric Young.
Yes, EY. Eric
Young. Oh, I thought you said Eli. I was like, who's Eli?
No.
EY.
No. And he is the surprise. He is the world-class maniac. He comes in with this great helmet mask thing, and the music is violent, and he gives a quick promo, and hey, he gets to talk, which he's good at, and wrestle.
Which he's also good at.
Yes, and we start a match, and they have a banger.
I thought this match was awesome. I thought this match was really ended up being like really well-structured.
And it was an elimination match.
I did not initially know that. I don't know if I just wasn't paying attention because I kept trying to think of who the mystery participant was. But I guess I didn't catch that. But yeah, Eli.
EY.
E.
Eric Young.
Space Y. He takes out
Trey with a spinning pile driver.
Yeah. Dude, Trey sold that like he got rigor mortis set in instantly.
It may have. It was spinning pile driver. It's entirely possible.
He hits the bin. At some point, Eric Young gets busted open on like both sides of his face.
Yes.
I literally don't how. I don't know.
Right. It happened off camera.
I joke that he may be like related to the Rhodes where he just like starts spontaneously bleeding from the head.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm not saying it's a blade job.
Right.
I think he might have just... He's probably smacked against something. Who knows? Anyways, right. It was a good visual of him to be coated, you know, forehead coated in blood.
Absolutely. It's a wrestling match. It's always good to bleed.
Yes, I mean, he already looks like crazy, and that just added...
Right. He's got the craziest of crazy eyes.
It's wild.
Yes, he does. He does.
I would not want to see that dude in a dark alley or, like, in a crowded... parking lot in the daylight.
Or in a gas station. Nowhere. Like, if for whatever reason he were to want to hit that switch and look at you like that, like, if he's looking at somebody else like that and I'm in a room, I'm leaving the room.
Dude, he's, like, I would want to go Black Friday shopping with him. Right. Because I could just go to the things I want and literally just, like, he just looks at it and I'm good. I got the TV, you know, I got the TV at the good deal. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, okay, and so then... He gets eliminated by Swan, and this is interesting because
he brutalizes
Swan's knee and ankle, and then he's out of the match, and Ace comes in, swoops in to
just like get the
pick
easy,
at the bones, yeah. Right? The guy's already dead, and Rich does give a little 40 or 50 second. I'm still going to fight no matter how bad this is.
Oh, dude,
I thought back.
The backslide he did was, I don't know, it was just crazy well executed.
Even the wild punches, like, on one leg.
Dude.
And then the two, like you said, the roll up into the, and then winds up being, he kicks out of that and he goes into a backslide.
Yeah. It literally looks like he's doing it all on one leg and still is managing to do it.
How do you do that? How do you sell a leg while you're doing different backslides?
I was like, fight, man. Come on.
Yeah, I was too. Totally.
Just
totally.
Sometimes when something is so well executed, you get swept up in that moment of emotion where you're just like, come on, man.
Well, and the
you can do it.
And the story they're telling is based in reality because he has been out for 8 months. And so if he were to get that pin right there, regardless of whether or not he's faking the injury, it still has that. He still has overcome this.
Yes, absolutely.
Right, just to be here. And if he gets to the final, this is great. But he doesn't. Ace winds up doing what Ace does.
The fold.
He does hit the fold. He hits it. First, he gives him a shot to the knee.
Yeah.
And then he gives him the fold. And he's out of there. And then we're going to get a one-on-one match between Eddie Edwards and Ace Austin for the Impact Championship.
Yes.
And it's very good. And this, the way this company works, and they pointed it out, last year at this time, Ace Austin made advances towards Eddie's wife, and they had a feud that went through hotel rooms, went through everything. They fought every week in some form of an unsanctioned, brutal match. Ace was... To me, this was... Eddie's always kind of been the guy in TNA, even if he doesn't have the belt. He's like the favorite son.
He's their mainstay. He's like a pillar.
He never left. Right. And so Ace, to me, becomes a main eventer in this rivalry.
Yes, 100%.
You know, and that's... That and the performance where he beats... In the latter match at the pay-per-view where he gets that mid-card X Division championship and he beats Tessa, those two moments are what make him a star in the company.
Yes.
Right?
And I love Ace Austin. I think he has really turned into one of my favorite talents.
He's the future of that company if they can hold on to him.
Please.
Dude, there was a spot where he's almost laying down and manages to super kick about 5 feet off the ground at the wrong angle. He's just so talented.
Unreal.
But now, that being said... I didn't see this coming, and again, I don't see the diehard Flojan as much, so it didn't.
Yeah,
so
that's
him hitting
the bust out.
He hit the two Boston knee parties.
Yeah.
In between them was a fold.
Yes.
Ace winds up flipping it and getting a fold, and then Eddie gets up, blah blah blah, something happens, boom, he hits another Boston knee party, but he didn't pin him on the last one. So then he goes for the diehard Flojan, which is a modified
Emerald Flojan. Eddie is a NOAH product, a pro wrestling NOAH product, which was started by like the All Japan guys. So his Boston Knee Party is a Shining Wizard from Keiji Muto.
Mm-hmm.
He does stuff like that, and he does like a Roaring Elbow too, where he wears that influence on his sleeve. And the Flosion was a Misawa move,
right?
Who was like one of the founders of NOAH,
right?
I don't know. It's a cool callback to me to like I love when wrestlers do like their trainers and inspirations right. moves.
And again, though,
I love that.
And again, though, like the match with Chris Bay, the finish was a surprise to me.
Yeah,
the Deanna Purrazzo finish. I've never seen her do that hold.
No. But in the circumstances leading up to that, I absolutely believe it, 100%. She's been working one arm heavily, and she's been working the other arm a little bit, too.
Absolutely. And so Eddie goes over, and he's your champion, and Madman Fulton jumps him. And we're at the end of the pay-per-view, and we're going to end this thing with Ace and Fulton standing tall. But wait.
Ooh.
The Good Brothers music hits. Anderson and Gallows come out.
Yes.
Cowboy boots, jeans, folded up hat. Gallows is ready to rock. He almost slips the ramp. But they get in the ring, and we get the Fool, where Ace and Fulton look at Edwards in the corner and say, "You can have him. Have at him." Because Gallows and them have been, you know, they're old Bullet Club. They might be.
You never know. You don't know what they're going to be like.
But they are old Bullet Club. You know who else worked over there?
Who?
Where's NOAH?
Japan.
Maybe. Who knows?
Maybe, I don't know.
But,
maybe
so...
Maybe they just like Eddie Edwards, you know what I mean?
Right, and so they gave him the cutter. They gave Ace the cutter.
No, don't call it the cutter, dog. It's the stun gun.
The stun gun! And he... Dude, Josh was screaming. He was so hyped. Stun gun!
Yes.
Was it Magic Killer?
Magic Killer, which is the move that they gave to, like, the Gorillas of Destiny.
And Madman Fulton. Yeah. I mean, they gave it to Madman Fulton tonight, but they passed it over to the Gorillas of Destiny.
Just like the gun stun from Carl Anderson to Tama Tonga.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I love those moves, man.
Oh, man. And he was hyped. And so at the end of the show, we're cutting the credits, and we've got Eddie Edwards and Gallows and Anderson. And what a great night of surprises. But we're not done, because three is scratched on a wall. The music hits, and EC3 is standing there looking like the villain of a comic book. He's got the goatee. He's the evil Captain Kirk. He looked great. He threw his drink against the wall. The glass shattering.
Yes.
Maybe alluding to a glass ceiling that he wasn't allowed to touch in other organizations.
That's symbolism, baby.
Maybe not, but maybe not. It was a neat moment.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, this company has announced itself with a presence.
Dude, this changes everything for Impact in a lot of ways.
Well, look at what we did, okay? The Evil Empire.
Yes.
Let's go of a slew of wrestlers.
Yes.
Eric Young is one that people were furious about the way he was treated over there. Okay. EC3, you think they were mad about the way Eric Young was treated?
Bro.
They had EC3 standing around posing in front of mirrors backstage and didn't even get to talk.
Bro, they had him in catering.
Oh my God.
Nothing wrong with that dude. Nothing wrong with
him. He's great. He's really great at talking.
He's a fantastic talker.
He's literally, the sports entertainment was made for people that can talk, and somehow you didn't bother to give him a chance. Just didn't give him a chance. The Good Brothers, we just had reports that Paul Heyman ran them out of the company last week. Anderson, I think, yesterday maybe?
It was today.
Today. Early came today. Public with, and we had heard that AJ Styles left Raw to go to SmackDown because he couldn't stand what Paul Heyman had done. Vince McMahon told AJ,
according to the stories,
Vince McMahon told AJ, Paul wants your guys out of here. And so, you know, the Evil Empire has let these guys go. Heath Slater was even on Raw.
He's got kids, dog.
Yes, but he got cut, right? And
yeah.
And all this happens, and I'm not in the real world knocking what a company does to whatever. That's fine, whatever. Perception in the wrestling community was Heath Slater was wronged, Anderson and Gallows were wronged, EC3 was wronged, Eric Young was wronged. There's a reason why that show was trending, and the reason that show was trending is because the wrestling community wanted to see if those people that were wronged were getting another opportunity, and every one of them's getting an opportunity to shine in Impact Wrestling.
Yes.
And even better, the girl that couldn't even get out of developmental went over to win the world title. And what you just said, in a way, without having to say it, is we're not holding these guys back.
Yeah.
You know, that was the message you sent. You can put the belt right back on Grace if you want.
Oh, dude, you could do it next Tuesday, you know?
Correct. She could walk out and say, I'm really mad. But what did you do? You ensured Tuesday night people are going to watch.
Yes.
And
they should. I love Impact.
It's the best thing out there. It's
fun, dude. I don't know.
Part of the reason why it's the best thing out there is with WWE, in my mind, I'm always counterproducing it. With AEW, in my mind, I have this impression of what I want them to be doing. With Impact, I never do that to that show.
My expectations for it are totally different because I'm in the exact same way where I watch AEW and I'm like, man, I kind of wish things were a little bit different. I kind of wish it would be a little bit.
And I'm not knocking. They're all cool. I don't have a problem with.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Like, absolutely. But I never feel like I'm like trying to micromanage Impact. I go on there and I'm just like, dude, we're about to get a bomb Johnny Swinger segment. It's right. About to be the most entertaining segment right. of the whole week. I guarantee it.
Johnny Swinger can give you the best segment of the week in pro wrestling sitting on a couch with Madison Rayne doing all the talking, interviewing anybody you want.
Anyone. And Impact has such a colorful cast of characters. I just like the show, man. I never worry too much about it. I just watch it 2 hours every week. I have a good time.
And you know that if a person is capable of being entertaining, just being themselves, they're going to give you Willie Mack, Cody Deaner, and Cousin Jake sitting around drinking beer. And Willie Mack is going to do the most spot-on Stone Cold Steve Austin imitation out of nowhere and make your week happy.
It's great.
It is so great. You had a great time.
I had a great time.
Ray, what about you?
Did you have a great time, Ray?
I contributed so much to this episode. I'm just tired,
and you watched,
man,
the pay-per-view, so you're here.
I think he was in awe.
Yes. In all.
I think of your skills as an orator.
Yes.
New Japan, Jared. Yes. I do. Now, for Go Home Heat, this has been a wrestling podcast. Copyright 2020. Ray.
Go. Leave.
Home.